Well, have a seat. If you're standing up, have a seat right where you are. Sit down, enjoy. Maybe this is a great time to take a sip of that cup of coffee or orange juice, or have a little bit more of the snack or the breakfast if you're just getting up now. I know some of our folks gathered this morning early and had a life group early this morning, and I thank you guys for all getting together and doing that this morning. I pray that was a productive and a good time. Thanks for doing that. Our life groups have continued to meet throughout this time, and we're doing it obviously digitally, so it's very different for most of us, but it is a way that we can at least connect, and we can connect personally through the digital media that we have, which is a way that we can continue to connect and continue to see faces. So it's a way to stay connected and to have your faith reinforce your life as we go through these, especially these times. I don't know about you. I mean, all the digital stuff I've had to learn in the last few weeks has been quite incredible. It's been a lot of changes that I have been through, and I am sure that you have been through as well. And there's just a multitude of changes that we have encountered and will need to. Now, many of those changes that have been made are all around questions, and there's so much uncertainty that is happening, and that we don't know what the summer will bring. We don't know what next week will bring in some ways. But the thing is, I want to kind of focus in and say, first of all, let's focus in on right now, and let's realize, as we know, that this too shall pass. There is going to be a time in the future where we will be back to, or maybe not back to, but maybe forward in a new place. And we will be connecting with people very personally. It's just a matter of time, and this is going to be a few days in our lifetime. And yet I know that it can be very difficult if we're in the middle of that trying time and we're uncertain or we're fearful because of what we're hearing or we're reading or watching and seeing so much of in the media. And I would just remind you again, as I continue to say, don't get drowned in the media, but rather pull yourself away from it. Watch what you need to. Stay up to date. But I will tell you, you can live on about 2 minutes of media a day, and you'll be quite fine. You'll probably be more healthy if you get off some of that stuff. So that's just my word. Do what you need to do. But I'm going to tell you that I watch very little, I see very little, and I try to stay up to date on all of the official reports. But I don't need all of the rest of that. I need to know that my God is with me. So I'm connecting with God in ways that I can and want to do that in more depth and in more time. So this crisis, without a doubt, is challenging. It's really challenging. I don't think any of us have been through anything like this. Now, when we're in trying circumstances, when circumstances get beyond our control, when there's uncertainty, it produces anxiety, and that can elevate emotions really high, all sorts of emotions. Sometimes emotions can come out that we're not even aware of, we're under there. Or we may say things that all of a sudden we're not really realizing what we're saying is driven by the emotions that we are having. And sometimes, again, those emotions, maybe it's about insecurity, maybe it's about fear, maybe it's even about jealousy or whatever it is, but just be aware of this is a time of heightened emotions all across us. And emotions, when we're having elevated emotions, it can also be a time of even feeling very depleted energy-wise, because emotions take energy. You may feel smothered. You may feel like you're just pulled down, like this is just, you know, I'm being sheltered in place. I mean, that's just like maybe you're pulled down and you're just feeling like I am in such pain. This is just a hard thing to do, and I am in pain. You may feel like this is a painful time. So I want to talk about pain for a moment today. Actually, I want us to explore this, and I want to kind of dive into this with you. How do you feel about pain? Now, most people would say they hate pain. How many people hate pain? Raise your hand if you do. I see you there on the couch. You've got your hand up, yeah, and you're in the office. That's right. Oh, now I see. I also see I see you. You're just kind of lifting your hand like this because you don't want anybody else in the room to know. I get it. But anyways, how do you feel about pain? Because most people would say they hate pain, right? I want to challenge you. I want to challenge you that is not completely accurate. It's not that we hate pain. What we don't like is pain without a purpose. We don't like pain when there's no reason attached to the pain. You know, car accidents are painful and appear to have no purpose. When you're furloughed or you lose your job, like, what? What for? Experiencing a crisis. God, where are you? People, however, can endure incredible amounts of pain if there's a purpose. And if we believe that there is a purpose. Now, I know a few of you are runners. I gave up running a long time ago. Someone once said to me, I was jogging a little bit. You'd never guess to look at me that I used to jog. But anyways, that's another whole story. But I used to jog, and someone said to me, I gave up jogging because I've never seen someone who is smiling while they're jogging. And I thought, that's a good point. Anyways, but some of you who are runners are really serious about it. And as a matter of fact, you pay money to race, right? And you run long distances too. That's incredible. And you train for weeks and months and go on and on. Some of you, I know you run up hills. You run up mountains. That is painful. That takes perseverance, right? You run in a race and you endure that pain because of the finish line, because of the satisfaction and the sense of accomplishment that you see. You endure that pain and you see a purpose for it. You experience camaraderie. You become in a better shape, you know, better shape physically, and you feel good physically and emotionally because it's all chemically tied together. We know that. Experience that. Parents. Here's another one. Parents. Actually, let me get specific. Ladies. Those of you who have given birth.
Amen.
I was in the room when both of our children were born. It was painful. Okay, now, well, I'm just speaking from an empathetic bystander, right? My wife's experience, man. When I called with the birth announcement to a friend of mine, he asked me, was it an easy birth? I told him from where I was, there was nothing easy about what I witnessed. And it was painful. And it was hard. All that intense pain. But when the baby was laid in mom's arms, the baby was worth it. His purpose in the pain. We don't hate pain. What people despise is pain with no purpose. If there's no purpose to pain, we despise that. Next week, I want to tell you, I'm going to share with you in part of the message I have an inspirational story about a Vietnam veteran who will show us, as I share part of his story, he will show us what we need to live through pain and hardship. So today, in this season, this crisis, in all the uncertainty, this is not an easy time. Perhaps you don't see good happening. Perhaps you're experiencing frustration. Perhaps you're experiencing fear and a lot of anxiety, a lot of stress. Perhaps you're even experiencing pain, emotional and or physical. This message is about believing through the pain. Would you join with me? Let's pray for a moment. Lord God, I thank you that you are with us right now, no matter where we are, in all of the places that we are, you are with us. And I pray that you would just use the words you've placed on my heart. Lord, you would use these words to help us know that life is a journey. And that you had shared, and David wrote down for us, walking through the valleys of life as a reminder to us that there are times, there are moments, there are sometimes days and years sometimes that we go through valleys, but we go through the valleys. And even the valley that we're in right now, Lord, we're going through this. We will come out the other side. And even in the valley, dear God, you are with us. And that's what I want us to look at today, is that you empower us and give us strength, and you often grow us in and through the valley. So I pray that, and I pray that everyone hearing would have a sense of your presence with them, with us this morning, Lord. And I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Wherever you are, say amen. Ah, I heard you right there in the living room. I heard you. I want to share with you some words of Jesus. Jesus' words recorded in the Gospel of Luke. I'm going to talk about several of the Gospels this morning, but the Gospel of Luke, these words, I have to tell you, to me, these can be a little bit unsettling. They can be disturbing in ways because Jesus is speaking to Peter. So let me share these words. And Peter, at this point, was called Simon often, and oftentimes. So you're going to hear Simon. I'm going to use his name as Peter, but we know this is the same person, okay? So in Luke 22, it's recorded for us that Jesus said, "Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift all of you as wheat." Jesus is letting Peter know that the devil has asked permission to attack Peter, to test him, to put him through a trial, possibly even hurt him and put him through these trials. Jesus could have said, "Peter, you're about to be embarrassed and humiliated, and by the way, you're not going to succeed. You're going to fall short, and it's all going to be reported for people to know for thousands of years, by the way, Peter. Peter, you're going to fail. You're going to fall short. This is going to be painfully personal. This is going to exceed all of the things that you thought were possible, Peter. This is what's coming." Jesus said, "Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift all of you as wheat, but I, Jesus, have prayed for you that your faith may not fail." Jesus gives the devil permission to attack Peter here, but Jesus doesn't leave Peter unarmed. Now, okay, my confession is I would have said, "Jesus, can you skip the prayer part and just give me a protective bubble that keeps the devil away from me?" Right? And that's me. But Jesus said, "I'm not leaving you unarmed. I'm preparing you. I am giving you something that will get you through." Notice that Jesus didn't cause the crisis that Peter was about to enter into. Don't miss what Jesus said here. "I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail, that your faith may prevail, that your faith may deepen." Do you feel like you're under attack right now? When is this thing going to end? The frustration, the uncertainty, the people who are sick, the people who are hurting, the people who are in need, the people who are losing their jobs, the business leaders who are laying off people that they really care about and don't want to lay off, the unknown about all of the things that are unknown right now and the anxiety that produces that we are grappling with. When will we be set free? You may be asking, "God, when will you hear the cries of my heart? I'm in pain." Maybe you were struggling with things a few weeks ago. Maybe you were struggling with school previously, but now you're thinking, "God, this is really unbearable." Maybe before there was a relationship that you were struggling with, and now you're feeling like this is just smothering. Maybe you were managing financial stress previously, but now you're saying, "Now." As a parent, you have the added burden. Perhaps you're working from home, and now you have the added piece of supervising schooling from home as well. You may feel like you are just falling, failing. You just feel like you're in pain, and you are in pain. Whenever it feels like the devil is attacking, when it feels like you're being tested, it is important to remember sometimes God's preparation comes packaged as pain. Sometimes God's preparation comes packaged as pain. What I'm saying is the pain that you are experiencing may be preparation for the purpose that God has prepared for you. Let me show this to you. Let me explain it to you in the narrative, through the narrative of Simon Peter. Jesus, before that portion I just read to you in chapter 16, Jesus had explained to his disciples, his divine calling. Peter, in that moment, couldn't see the big picture of what God was up to. He could only see what he was experiencing. When Peter heard what Jesus was about to do, that Jesus said, "I'm about to go to my death," Peter said, he took Jesus aside. Can you imagine calling God aside and saying, "Come over here"? But that's another whole thing. He took Jesus aside and he began to rebuke him. "Never, Lord, never, God, never. This shall never happen to you." Peter's really crying out in pain. He's got this burden in his heart, and he's just crying out in pain. "No, no, God." And then Jesus has this sharp response to Peter, and it's because of Peter's selfishness that's going on in Peter's heart. Jesus turned to him and said, "Get behind me, Satan." Wow. "You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but only human concerns." Now, Peter's pain was real. His pain was real. Peter couldn't see the reason. He didn't have God's perspective on things here. See, having a wider view, we now, looking back after years, after some time, we can see that God was at work in all of that. In all of what was going on, God was very much at work. God was very much present in what was happening. That God would work through this incredibly painful time, this situation, all for God's purpose. Because we know God sent Jesus to come and to live, to teach, to demonstrate and communicate the love of God. But then he would suffer and he would die. And then God would raise Jesus back to life so that we would know that God overcomes death. God overcomes sin. And that's a clear communication to all of us. But Peter couldn't see it in that moment, in that time frame that he was living in. Let me give you another example. You probably are familiar with this one, I suspect, is when Jesus himself was wrestling with following the will of God. That is, when he was in the garden on the night that he was betrayed. Matthew 26 records this. In verse 38, it says, Jesus is talking to Peter. He's talking to Peter and his disciples, but he's now more talking to Peter. Perhaps one of the disciples is there. And Jesus says, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me." And then going a little further, Jesus fell on his face on the ground and he prayed. He said, "My Father, if it is possible, would you take this cup from me? Yet not as I will, but as you will." And then he returned to his disciples and he found them sleeping. Peter's taking a nap. How do you think Jesus was feeling? But Peter is taking a nap. Right? John records the same account. We have the Gospels, and they each record so much of Jesus' experience, and many times there's overlay of they're telling the same experience, and they're telling it from their perspective and to their audience, of course. But John records the same account and tells us that there were armed guards that came to take Jesus away. And as they came, Peter doesn't see the purpose in this pain that he's enduring or Jesus is enduring. Peter tries to stop the arrest, and he pulls out his sword. He drew his sword, and he struck the high priest's servant, cutting off the servant's ear. Now, my guess is he was trying to cut off his head, but he missed and blundered completely and lost that. But he cut off the ear. And Jesus looks at him and says, "Put your sword away," and rebukes Peter. "Put your sword away." And then he touches Jesus. I don't know if they had to search for the ear or whatever. I mean, it might have been. Anyways, I'm sorry. I shouldn't make fun of that. But and then Jesus takes that ear, and it said that he healed the man and put the ear back on his arrester. Jesus is healing his ear. Peter couldn't see the purpose. He couldn't see God at work in any of this. You know, in Luke 22:34, it says this. It records the conversation that Jesus had told Peter. He said, I told you, Peter, that before the rooster crows today, you will deny me three times. And Peter says, that's impossible. Never happen. It's not going to happen. I would never do that. And then if you go on and read through a little bit further in Luke about verse 56, a servant girl, it says, saw Peter. And as she looked closely at him, she said, you're one of them. You were with him. You were with him. And he says, no, 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 and denies it. Three times Peter denied. And then he heard the rooster crow. And then, in verse 61, then Peter remembered the words of the Lord had the words of the Lord had spoken to him. Before the rooster crows today, you will disown me three times. And Peter went outside and wept bitterly. The pain that Peter was feeling was excruciating. In that moment, in that time, Peter could not see the purpose in the pain. You may be feeling similar. You may have had to have made decisions. Maybe you've had to make decisions about employees, or maybe you've been feeling just excessive stress because you're working from home and you're parenting and you're helping educate your children. You may be facing stress like never before. And you may be wondering, what is this about? This is painful. Where is God? In our current situation, frankly, it would be easy to say, look what I used to have. Look how it used to be. Look how it used to be. Look what I had. And now look at where I am. We were headed on vacation, but now who knows? There was a reason for Peter's experience. Sometimes God's preparation is packaged in pain. Let me suggest that you and I look at pain from a different perspective, from a perspective of purpose. God may very well be doing something in you, before he does something through you. God may very well be doing something in you before he does something through you. The difficult thing that is going on in you right now is not without purpose. God may have allowed something to happen, and this crisis to happen, and maybe he allowed it to strengthen you in a way that your individual struggle in this situation, because it is very individualized as well as it is global, but it also gets very personal, that God may have allowed this so that the pain that you are going through can strengthen you. The Apostle Paul, let me tell you why I believe this. Because the Apostle Paul, in his letter to his friends in Rome, he said this. In Romans 8:28, it's one of the most popular verses in the Bible, I think, or at least it is to me. We know that in all things, doesn't say God created or God made that thing, that bad experience to happen. There's experiences in this world that are, because we live in a broken world, that happened, that it wasn't God that was pushing that button. It wasn't God that caused that virus. But it says God, in all things, God works. In all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. So there are some qualifiers here, if you would, that in all things, God is at work. Do you believe that? Do you put your faith and trust in that? Or do you let fear run your emotions all over the place and your mind in places? In all things, God works for the good of those who love him, those who have a relationship or are desiring and walking towards and entering into a relationship with him, those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. In all things, just say right where you are, wherever you are in your living room, in your office, say in all things, say all things.
All things.
Awesome. Now, I want you to think about that. In all things, God is at work. In the promotion, when you get the promotion and you're like, whoa, awesome, God's in that. When you get laid off, God's in that. You may not be jumping up and down, but God's still in that. In the easy times, yeah. And maybe that's when we forget God the most. In the easy times, when life is going really well. But God is in that. And in the difficult times, God is in those situations. And he's with us. We know that our God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. You can say purpose. Say purpose. Go ahead. Right there in your living room, right? Say purpose. God works in all things. No matter what you're going through right now, God works in all seasons and all times. God is at work for the good of those who love him. God works according to his purpose, not according to my pleasure. God is a faithful and a good God. God is working for the good of those who love him. To understand this perspective, we have to be honest. We have to be honest about our brokenness and admit that I'm not perfect. I sin. We have to be honest that we live in a world that is broken. It's not perfect. How does a virus come about? How does a tsunami happen? We live in a broken world. It's not a perfect place. So let's not blame God for that imperfection. But let's acknowledge and with faith step into and trust God and have faith in God, because God is working in all of those things. In all of your circumstances, God is at work. God is a faithful God. That's how we change our perspective about how we look at life, how we experience life. And when we acknowledge that God's hands of purpose are working even in the pain, this may be an excruciating time. It may be difficult to hear. And you may think this is impossible. And I'm sorry if you're in deep pain. But I do want you to know, I want you to know that those who love God, who follow Jesus, no matter what kind of pain, no matter how deep your doubt, no matter how deep your depression, God is at work to accomplish his purpose. Jesus' brother James, when he wrote his letter that's recorded and is in the Bible, you can read it for yourself. It's James 1. I just want to read with you. James has a perspective on this that it kind of is a little weird and almost blows my mind sometimes. He says this. He says, consider it pure joy, brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds. That is weird, man. Consider it pure joy. I mean, that sounds like I'm supposed to be happy when things go bad. What is that about? Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many times, because, hold on, because here it comes. You know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work, that you may be mature and complete and not lacking anything. See, sometimes God's preparation comes packaged as pain. Let's return now for a moment and look at Peter's experience with Jesus. When Jesus said, Simon, Simon, hey, Satan has asked to sift all of you as wheat, but I prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail. And then Jesus says some very important and incredible words. And when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers. Jesus has prayed for you. Jesus has prayed for you. Jesus has prayed for you. And the thing that your enemy wants to use to hurt you, when you turn back to God, Jesus can use it to strengthen you. When you turn back to God, it is going to be different. You're going to be different. You're going to be stronger. You're going to be prepared for God's purpose. the pain was actually used for preparation. After the resurrection of Jesus, Jesus came back to fulfill his purpose, giving life to all who seek forgiveness, all who want to live an abundant life, a thriving life in him and through him and in a relationship with him. The first person to preach about Jesus resurrected, Jesus' forgiveness, and that all the promises of God are true and that God is with us on a regular and ongoing, all the time basis, no matter what we're going through, the first person to preach about the power of the resurrection, the forgiveness and the incredible freedom of forgiveness that we receive, the first person to preach about the power of God's grace and the love that God demonstrated through Jesus, the first person to preach all of that and the immense passion that God has for you was Peter. Peter's pain was his preparation to preach at Pentecost, because Peter said, "Repent of your sins." Peter knew exactly what he was talking about. He knew exactly what sin was about. He knew exactly what betrayal was about. He knew exactly what feeling lonely was about. He knew exactly what being confused and living through uncertainty was like. He knew exactly what it meant to be forgiven by Jesus. On that day of Pentecost, Peter spoke through the pain that he had endured, and it prepared him. And that day, 3,000 people took steps in following Jesus. That day, and through what God had prepared with and through Peter, that day, Peter said yes. And God, through Peter, that day, over 3,000 people said yes. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. I want to take a step closer to you. I need forgiveness. Yes, I want a relationship with Jesus. God was doing something in the middle of Peter's pain. You may not always see it, but by faith, choose to believe that God is in the middle with you in that pain. And just say, I choose to believe that God is with me. As James said, consider it pure joy, brothers and sisters, whenever trials come, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance, and perseverance will finish its work and will bring you to maturity, and you will lack nothing. I have seen that work in some people's lives that went through terrible tragedy, but they knew that God was with them, and God carried them through, and they came out even more mature and even stronger in their faith, trusting and knowing that God was with them. In the midst of this unusual time that we are in, here's a question. Where are you seeing? Where are you experiencing God? Maybe I could give that as an assignment. Maybe you can email me this week and say, hey, here's where I'm seeing God right now in the midst of what's going on. Even though I don't understand all of what's happening, but here is where I see God and where I see God working for the good of those who love him. Here's what I'm seeing. I am excited that God is using some of you, and he's using this time to draw people closer to him. We're coming together in digital life groups. I mentioned that in the beginning, and we're coming together in digital life groups, and that's being used. We're also right now through Right Now Media, which is something that we have. It's a resource that you are welcome to use. You can go on and look at all sorts of conferences, as well as there's loads of children content, great content for children, as well as studies for all of us. There's some great opportunities to study on that. You can take it up and put it on your tablet, on your any mobile device, your computer as well. You can put that on. If you would like access to that, simply email me, Pastor Scott, at newhamptoncc.org, and just say, could I have access to Right Now Media, or that thing you were talking about on Sunday? I'd be glad to give you that, and I will explain how that works. It's very simple. Our church pays for that subscription, so you can have it. So it'll strengthen you in the days whenever you can get on and whenever you can use that. I'm seeing people use that, and they're being strengthened by that. I'm seeing God at work in so many ways. I'm excited that people want to learn about what's going on and what God is doing in all of this. How have you been experiencing God in this crisis? And here's the, I have to be honest and tell you there's a flip side of this. For those who, since we can't gather together physically, or maybe you have not been part of our church family, but you've been watching and joining us on Sunday mornings or some other time during the week through this medium, which I appreciate, and I'm so glad you're with us. But because we haven't been able to actually connect in times like this especially, I'm concerned because we have an enemy who prowls like a lion, waiting to drown you in doubt and despair, distract you, and possibly even drive you into depression, or maybe just keep you so bored that you start having hours and hours of screen time, and you're tempted to glance at things or go to places online that you should not be in, that are not helpful but are disparaging and destructive. Are you tempted, maybe it works out in another way, maybe you're tempted to partake in chemicals or drink or pills that are destructive. That's one of my great concerns right now. It's a great concern. See, even in what we're going through right now, when I look and think about Peter and what he went through, and he couldn't see what was going on, he couldn't see what God was doing, but afterwards and now we can look and say, God was in the middle of that. And there's so many other stories in the Bible how God worked in people's lives when they weren't even aware of it. But to know that God, as Joseph said, to know that God worked through all of that for God's good, that God will work in this, and he will work in our lives for those who love him. I'm seeing a glimpse of some things because I know that I will see God's work in and through this. And I am seeing a glimpse. We're starting to see a glimpse. But I know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. You know, I've learned when I take just a snapshot of life, when I take just a snapshot, one moment, you know, one day, one experience, it's easy to become disillusioned, to feel like God's not in this moment, God's not here, God's absent from what's going on. In that snapshot, it's hard to see what God is doing in that one moment. I've discovered taking a larger perspective over an extended period of time, maybe it's a few weeks, maybe it's a few days, maybe it's a few weeks, maybe it's a few months, maybe it's even years. And I've had people say to me, over 15 or 18 years, now I can look back and I can see God and what he was doing in that. I have a perspective that now I can see that God was moving me forward. God was doing things in my life. Now I can see what God was up to. Now I can see that God was in the midst of that experience. Now I can see that God was with me all the time, working things for his purpose. And that's because of faith. Because of faith, my perspective of pain is to believe that God is working, that God has a purpose, and God has a plan. And I don't know what you're feeling right now. I don't know what you're experiencing right now completely, by any means. But I do know that God is working for the good of those who love him. For some, this may be a time to build relationships, right? Build relationship with someone perhaps you've gotten very distant from, but all of a sudden, this is a time where you're building a relationship and you're bonding much more, just building a great relationship. Maybe it's a husband or wife. Maybe it's one of your children. For some, this will be a time to come together. Maybe your family will come together and really bond. You know what? I wonder how many of our children in 20 years, our children will look back and say, I remember that time. And it seemed like a little bit of a crazy time, but also it was such a family time. It was such a key time in our family and some relationships and some great things and great experiences that we had together, just being together and building as a family. I know in this time, for some couples, For some couples, this could be a really hard time because you're realizing you've got some stuff and you need to deal with it. And I would say you can use the Right Now Media and go into love and respect. Emerson Eggerichs has it's called a crazy cycle that he talks about. And if you can engage with that, or maybe you say, we really need some professional help once this thing is over. Or maybe even right now, but once the thing is over, to fortify and build your marriage. Maybe that's what this is revealing to you right now. Some things that really need to be dealt with in your life. Some things that you need to really start working on right now. Maybe that's what God is doing in and through this. And for some, you're gonna realize the amazing blessing of helping. Maybe you just make a phone call or make several phone calls and you start conversations with people and you have conversations, you connect with people. Maybe you drop something off. Maybe you give someone some flowers and just leave them out on the front porch, whatever. Maybe you go and you stack some wood for someone. Some of you are gonna realize that it is such an incredible blessing. Not just for the receiver, but also for your heart to do something for others, right? For some, this struggle, this pain, this is going to force you or is forcing you to really consider what is most important, what is really most important. And you're going to have to make a choice. When we start talking about things opening up, what does that mean? And what will that look like? You're going to have to make a choice if you will live into the purpose that God has for you. And for some, this is a difficult time, and maybe you're tuning in today, and you're not going to like what I have to say next, perhaps. But there's a reason you're tuning in, and the reason you're listening and joining me right now. Because for some, this really difficult time is going to rock you off spiritual complacency. It's going to push you away from your self-sufficiency, and you're going to come to a point perhaps of desperation where all you can do is cry out to God, the God who is ready for you, the God who is saying, I've been waiting all these years for you. Thank you for coming to me. For some, that's what it's going to be, and I would say don't hesitate. Just say, God, help me. God, be with me. Jesus, I want you in my life. Connect with me on email or go to Right Now Media. Talk to us. We'd be glad to walk with you more deeply. Because I know, life can be hard. The biblical texts all tell us that. Life can be so hard. But in all of that text, God, for thousands and thousands of years, God is working for our good. For those who love him, he's working for the good of those who love him, who have been called and are living according to his purpose. So friends, when we, as it says, when we turn back to God, we will be strengthened. So let the goodness of God, let the faithfulness of God, let the forgiveness of God, and the grace of God, and the love of God just fill you today and in the days ahead. God is at work in everyone who is following him, who is working and loving him. He loves you. He loves you, and he is working even in things that are difficult. And even in the pain, God is working for those who love him according to his purpose and his plan. So have faith and believe in the love of God, the faithfulness of God, the forgiveness and grace of God. Amen.